Summer School of Truth 2017 Special Fellowship.
I had an experience with the Lord that really, I think you could sort of say, changed my life and set me on a kind of a course until today. And that year, and through that experience, that was when I started to think about the Lord's coming back. I don't know how much you think about that, or how much you realize that. I have to bother some of you. Nothing personal, but that's not the way to wear your tag. Please remove that. Okay? Tonight, I want to talk to you something about the Lord's coming. And in a sense, you could say, how to get ready for the Lord's coming. This is not, what lesson are we up to even? Sorry. What number is that? 10? Yeah. This is not lesson 10. Sorry. So please try to find, if you're taking notes in your book, in your outline booklet, you need to find like a blank page somewhere. Or on the back. Or if you, let's see. Yeah. Oh, yeah. On the back, right by the schedule. Which was the lesson that you skipped? 4? 5? Let's see five. Five. That doesn't leave you too much space. I'm going to ask you to write down some things. But maybe you could fit it in there. Of course, if you're doing this, just writing in your notebook, it doesn't matter. Then you just have the next page. So, how about actually? Let me tell you. Why don't you all turn to the schedule in the back? Turn to the schedule in the back so that I can tell you. Where are we? Tuesday. Yeah, when you're here so long, you start to lose track of what day it is. So where are we? We're in Tuesday night. And it says meeting number 10. Yeah, meeting number 10. So that doesn't mean message number 10 or outline number 10. That just means meeting number 10. But actually tomorrow night, we were supposed to have our second special fellowship time. That is all together like we did last night. We planned that 3 times, by the way. Monday, that was last night, right? Monday? Right. And then supposed to be tomorrow, and then Saturday night. Yeah, okay. But we're switching tomorrow's to tonight. So this is a special fellowship. So you can write that on the top. Special fellowship. Except that this is different than last night. You probably noticed already. Because we're not over there. We're over here. I hope it can still be special if it's over here. So what you're getting tonight, the high schoolers are not getting. You're getting something special. You're getting something a little different. So you can call this special fellowship. And I'm going to give you a title to this special fellowship. Okay, here's the title. It's a long title, so get ready. And I can tell you it has 5 parts. Let me make sure. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 parts. 6 parts. Are you ready? Are you ready to write? Okay. Here's the title. Okay. Part one is Growing in Life. Did you get that? That's like the easiest part of the whole thing. Growing in life. Here's the second part. To prepare for the Lord's coming. To prepare for the Lord's coming. So we're growing in life to prepare for the Lord's coming. Okay. By, B-Y, not B-Y-E. By, and there's going to be four things. Here's the next part. Loving the Lord, comma. By loving the Lord, comma. Let's read what we got so far. Growing in life to prepare for the Lord's coming by loving the Lord. Wow, even just that message I would like to hear. But that's only a quarter of the part. Okay, comma. Did you put the comma? Okay, the next part. Walking with God. Walking with God. You remember last night we talked about somebody walking with God. Who is that?
Enoch.
Enoch. Do we have any Enochs here? Anybody named Enoch? No Abels, no Enochs. Enoch. Enoch walked with God. You know what the Bible says? Enoch walked with God and what? Right, never mind, because that was wrong. Enoch walked with God and he was not, because God took him. Enoch walked with God. He was walking with God and he was not. What happened to him? God took him. Yes. Hmm? It seems like, but I don't know because I wasn't there. But he was not. So God took him. I think he disappeared. I think he disappeared. Oh, that's a very good question. And I would just say to the Lord's presence. But where? I don't know. And you know what? When the Lord Jesus comes back the second time, you know, he came the first time. Why did he come the first time? What did he do the first time? Huh? He died on the cross for us. And he became the Spirit. So that he could get into our hearts. I'm going to give you a diagram in a little while to show you his first coming and his second coming. And when he comes the second time, it's not that simple. When he comes the second time, he's going to come in like two stages. Like, he's going to come one day and he's going to actually, like, you'll be able to look up and see him coming physically on a cloud descending. And the Bible says the whole world will see him. How can the whole world see him? I think it's through television. Yes, Stephen.
I was going to say media.
Media, exactly. Because today, right, actually, your answer is more accurate. Because some people will see on their phones. I'll be on the iPad. I'll get a notification. We interrupt this message. Jesus coming. Oh, wait. Let me see. Let me get on my app, my CNN app or my NBC app or something. And, whoa, except I don't want to be watching that way. If you're watching that way, you were not ready for Jesus coming. Because the world will see him, coming. And I tell you, you're going to be watching, I don't know what you watch, but you're going to be watching something maybe on television, and there'll be what? Breaking news. We interrupt this program. Jesus is coming. And you know why tonight is so important? Because I'm almost certainly sure that he's coming while you're alive, during your lifetime. And actually, I believe you're not going to be that old. And I surely don't think most of you in this room will reach my age. Jesus will come before that. That's what I believe. So that's why tonight is very important. And also, well, from what I want to show you tonight is all these lessons are important. Because all these lessons are actually helping you to prepare for his coming. But listen, I'm coming back to Gabriella, right? It's Gabriella? Yeah. I want to come back to what you just asked. Because that's the second stage of his coming, when he comes physically. Before that happens, he's going to come in a secret way, and all the ones who really love him, he's going to take them just like Enoch. So people might be saying, Gabriella walked with God and she was not. And your friends at school was, you seen Gabriella? So wait, no, I was just talking to her. And where'd she go? People would be confused. And that's going to happen. That's going to happen. Yes, sir. A song? Yes. Which one are you thinking about? Because there's a few of them. Ah, so do a little lot louder. Just that part. 144,000 having his name and the Father written on their foreheads. These are they who follow the Lamb. Okay, enough. That was very nice, by the way. Can you imagine one day you might be the one who disappears? And then you will get the answer to your question. Because you'll find out like, oh, hi, Enoch. This is where you've been. And Gabriella, I hope to go there with you. But for sure, I'm trying to get you there. Do you want to be there? How about if the Lord would come back tonight and he would take everybody in this room except Shepherd? Wouldn't that be something? Like, he'd be like, I don't know what he'd do. He'd cry, and then maybe he'd start memorizing his verses. I think I better memorize. Oh, I better confess my sins. What was the lesson? Be a little late. Well, but not too late. Still not too late, but a little late. You missed the first one. You won't miss the second one. Then you can tell us what it looked like on your iPad. Yeah, you can tell us. You go, oh, how'd that work for you? Because you know what? Listen to this. This is not really the, I haven't even, this is not the lesson tonight because I haven't even finished the title yet. Right? You got a comma there, right? There's some more coming. Okay, wait. I'm not there yet. I just want to tell you this last part. Gabriella, I want to tell you this last part. That the ones that he takes, when he comes back, they they all come back with him. Is that pretty cool? They say, breaking news, Jesus is coming. Wait, there's somebody else there. Oh, who's Enoch, Gabriella, some others. 144,000. Don't you want to be in that group? You need a big cloud. I think God can work that up. But do you know who those are? It says, these are they. You know who those are? Listen. Those are the ones who let the Lord grow in their hearts and who pleased him. That's who they are. So do you want to be one of those? Then you have to learn how to let the Lord grow in your heart and how to please him. Let me finish my title. Sorry, what was I up to? Okay, comma. Telling him all. Telling. T-E-L-L-I-N-G. Telling. Telling. Telling him A-L-L. All. Telling him all. And actually, that part is maybe the biggest burden I have to share with you tonight. Comma. But actually, optional comma, because there's an and sometimes before the and, you don't need a comma. It just depends. But just be consistent in your writing. Your English teacher will tell you that. The last part is, and loving his word, capital W. Loving his word. That means his word, meaning this, the Bible, loving the Bible. Okay, that's the title. Could you please read the title back to me? Go. Okay. Did you know? Well, maybe the best way to do this is look at outline 13. No, sorry. Not 13. Look at outline 17. Or look at the 17th outline. Does that make you feel better? Page what? 28. Right? Page 28. Say it again. Lesson what? Oh, okay. Yeah. I was talking about outline number, because the other one has outline number on the top and then lesson number on the bottom, underneath the title. Yeah. So this is the 17th outline, but it's called a supplement. And it's a supplement to outline 13. It's a supplement. They're both about Lesson 19 in your book. That's what that's talking about, lesson 19 in your book. And I want to read a few of these points with you. The brothers will cover this with you more thoroughly on Thursday. Okay? But let us read Roman number 1 together. Roman numeral 1. Go. This is a fact that the whole human race must face. Today, there are people, lots of people, who don't believe that Jesus is coming back because they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe that Jesus is God. But the Bible says Jesus is God. The Bible says Jesus came the first time. And the Bible says Jesus is coming the second time. And when he comes back, he's coming and to face every person. Personally, everyone has to deal with the fact that he's coming back. So when people say, there's no God, don't be troubled. Pray for them, preach the gospel to them, but don't be shaken by them. One day, everybody will be convinced. You don't have to say anything. But on the last, look at this line. Look at the end. We have verses there, right? You see how we have verses? Matthew 16, Matthew 24. Look at the last set of verses. You see that? Revelation chapter what? 22. Verses 7, 12, and 20. All those three verses say that Jesus is coming back. Do you know what Revelation 22 is? Why is that a special chapter in the Bible? Because what is special about Revelation chapter 22? That is correct, sir. It is the last, the final chapter of the entire Bible. And in the last chapter, the last book, the last chapter, is that Jesus is saying, "It's I'm coming back." It's kind of if you're talking to somebody on the phone and you have plans to see them. Maybe next weekend. And at the end of the conversation, okay, Frank, see you next week. Yeah, looking forward to seeing you. See you Saturday. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. See you. See you soon. And then that's Jesus saying, before the book, you read the whole book. And at the end, he's saying, see you soon. I'm coming. Don't forget. Let's meet the right way. Let's meet this way with Gabriella, like Gabriella. Let's meet that way. Let's not meet. And then you're with Shepherd on the iPad. You want to be those coming down. Maybe we'll give all a shout, if we're all together, as we're coming down, we'll all give a shout out to Shepherd. Hey, Shepherd, in case he's watching. And then, oh, breaking news, message for Shepherd. Oh, Shepherd, don't do that, Shepherd. You got to grow. You got to learn how to grow. Amen. The main point tonight is grow faster. Grow faster. Amen. Okay, so over here, point two, this is what I want to show you. Again, the brothers may cover more with you, but I want you to circle three words here. Oh, I just noticed that only two of the words are here that I want. Okay, A, the statuses of Christ that is coming. A, as a thief, circle the word thief. Thief, circle the word thief. And then in D, circle the word judge. And then I want you to add F, capital F, right before Roman 3. Add F, A, B, C, D, E, F, capital F, period. Are you with me? You're with me, right?
Yeah.
F. And then write like this. I should just show you what I mean. Yeah. So we have Roman 2, right? We have A through E. I want you to write F as a farmer. As a farmer coming to reap his harvest. and then you put a dash, and you put these verses, James, the book of James, 5, verse 7, and Revelation, R-E-V, 14, verses 1 through 5, comma, and Let me read that to you again. F. As a farmer coming to reap his harvest. James 5, 7, semicolon. That's how we separate the verses, semicolon. Revelation 14, 1 to 5, comma, 14 to... Oh, I just heard somebody say Revelations. That's not the name of the book. The name of the book is?
Revelation.
Singular. No S at the end. Revelation. Okay? Revelation. Okay. I want you all to turn in your Bibles to this verse here. James 5, 7. James 5, chapter 5, verse 7. Okay, let's read together. I hope you all have it. James chapter 5. Make sure the people sitting next to you, if they do not have a Bible, that they can read it with you. Do you know James? You know where James is? It's at the very end of the Bible. It's toward the end of the Bible. James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 1st, 2nd and 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. So James is toward the end. How many people have it already? Okay, give another few seconds for everybody to get it. Okay, let's read, whoever has it. James 5, we're going to read 7, 8, and 9. Go. Therefore... verses, especially 7 and 9, you see that the Lord likens or connects his coming back with being a farmer and with being a judge. Other verses talk about him coming as a thief. When he comes to cause people to disappear, it's like he's stealing them. Actually, it's not really stealing because we belong to him. But it's that thing, it's the sense of, oh, something was there and he took it. But here, I want to talk about farming and judgment. Farming and judgment. At the very beginning of the New Testament, when the Lord Jesus came, he mentioned stories, which sometimes he called parables. Do you know the parable of the man who sowed the seed into different kinds of soil. Who knows that story? How many kinds of soil was that? Do you remember?
Four.
Do you remember the categories? Four is correct. What was the first one? Do you know? Huh? Rocks. That was the second one. Rocky was the second. Who knows another one? Weeds with what? Huh? Thorns, right. That's the second and third one. Huh? A path. What do you mean by that, a path? Yeah, it's talking about this right, it's called the wayside, or right next to where everything is growing. That's where people are walking, so it becomes hard like a road. Okay, that's one, two, and three. What's number four? Can't hear you. The good earth, right. The soil that was good. The good earth. So he's a man who's sowing seed. What does that make him? Farmer. So he's a farmer. And the Lord is likening the fact that when he came the first time, he didn't only come to die for our sins. Right. We covered that part in the summer school, 3 years ago, on God's full salvation. But this is the summer school on life. So we're covering the same thing, the Lord's coming, from another angle. So he didn't come only to redeem us, to save us. He did. But not only. He also came as a farmer to sow seeds into the human heart. That's why later on in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, it talks about growing. And we need to let the Lord grow in our heart. One verse like that is, let's see, 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 2. Who knows that verse? I don't think we have that this time. As newborn babes long for the guileless milk of the word, in order by it you may grow. You may grow. So you have in Matthew the sowing of the seed. You have in Peter growing. And you have in the book of Revelation the farmer who comes to reap. And actually, that song that we sang, these are they. That song talks about the first fruits. Does anybody know what the first fruits refers to? Do you know what that is, first fruits? It's kind of logical. Yeah. No, I mean physically. What is first fruits? Yeah. Right. It's the harvest. It's part of the harvest, but it's the part that grows faster. And then, using your word, ripens first. Ripens first. And in the Old Testament, whatever ripened first, people would take that, that's the first fruit, and they wouldn't eat it. They would offer it to God. They would bring it to God's temple to offer. And then the rest of the harvest they could use for eating and for trading. So, the Lord is coming in these two ways. Look up now. Remember, the first part and the second part. The second part is coming like this, right? When he comes like that, he's going to come to get the whole harvest. When he comes like this, he comes to get the first fruit. So the first fruit goes somewhere special. The first fruit gets to go somewhere special. Which in Revelation 14 says, Mount Zion. Now where that is, All we can say is, it's very special. Try to get there. Try to get there. Grow faster. If you grow faster, you get a prize. You get something that all the others don't get. Not to make you better, but as a kind of reward that you let the Lord grow in your heart faster. That's very special to the Lord. So, we need to grow. We need to grow for the Lord's coming. Okay. I'll tell you a little story. I'll tell you a testimony. Some of you, let's see, how many of you are in eighth grade? Eighth grade. Okay. I do not remember, sorry, because I speak, I don't know how many messages every year in all different places. So I cannot remember if I told you the story last year of how I got saved. Would I tell you here? Yeah, okay. With the sheep? Yeah, okay. Would you forgive me if I mention this? Just bear with me. Well, I want to tell the rest of them this. Okay. So don't zone out then. Okay. Yeah. Or if you zone out, I'll tell you when to come back. Yeah. Okay. I got saved when I was 7 years old. I was 7 years old. I'm going to give you the quick version. But it was at home, and my sister, she was what we call a children's meeting teacher. And she was 16 years old, almost 17, teaching the third grade, 8-year-olds. I was 7. And it was summer. It was summertime. And I remember, I do remember it was Friday the 13th. It was Friday the 13th. Yeah. But it was lucky, like, for me. It was a good day for me because I got saved that day. Yeah. So that day, that night, my sister was working at the dining room table, which was, well, in my house, the dining room and the living room were the same room. We were in a small apartment. And so I was watching TV, and then at the first commercial, I went to get a snack. Because, you know, you do stuff like that when you're watching TV. And you have to go by the table to go to the kitchen. So I saw, and she was doing some things with these cutouts. So what are you doing? She says, I'm getting ready for Sunday for my class. And then I don't know how exactly, because I was interested in my TV and I was interested in my snack, but she caught my attention with these cutouts. I was 7 years old. And so she started practicing her lesson on me. And she told me this story of this man who had 100 sheep. How many of you know this story? The man with 100 sheep, lost one, and so on. Okay. So she told me that story, and somehow, I don't know how, it was just that the Lord's presence was there. Somehow, I forgot about everything else, and I was just here watching this, and she was moving these cutouts around, and then she told me, well, you know, she had a little picture of a man that looked like a shepherd, and then one sheep, and then a bunch of sheep, and so she put the bunch of sheep over there, and she put the single sheep over here. You know, it was lost. You know, today I think you just do this with video. Another use of the iPad. Yeah. But anyway, she was doing that, and I'm like, you know, watching. And then she said the man went and got the sheep. And when he found it, do you know what he did with the sheep? Huh? He what? Say. Yeah, he put on his shoulders. So she took out this other thing, and then she put it, and a man holding the sheep, like, you know, like this, holding the sheep. And then she said, this is what Jesus was actually doing on the cross. He was holding you there and all of us. Because, you know, Jesus was on the cross like this. So I got in my mind this picture of Jesus like this, and all of us were being held by him on the cross. And at that moment, it's like the Lord got a message into my heart. that he loved me and he died for me. He died for me. And well, it just filled my heart. And then she used the verse from Revelation, and she took out this other cutout, which was in the shape of a heart. And this one had a little door. And when you open the door, there was a little man inside. She said that was Jesus. And so there's a verse. Do you know that verse? Revelation, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door," what does it say? "I will come into him." And then she said, "Do you want to let Jesus into your heart?" "Well, I mean, yeah." I said, "Yeah." So she said, "Come." So we went to her room, knelt down, and we prayed. I followed her prayer, and the Lord came into my heart. That's how my relationship with the Lord began that night. Friday, July 13th, 1965. I was seven. So, actually, I just passed my spiritual birthday. My spiritual birthday is July 13th. And so, that was when I was seven. Then, like I told you before, when I was 12, I remember I was in this chapel in this church building. I was 12 and a half. I got baptized right around my birthday. So I was right around 12 years old. So at 12 and a half, oh, by the way, is anyone here? I thought I heard somebody's getting baptized. Friday? Oh, yeah. Anybody else getting baptized? Friday or Saturday, we're going to have a baptism. So anybody thinking about baptism, talk to your serving ones and let us know by Thursday. Let us know by Thursday. Okay, so that was December, I was 12 and a half, and I had another experience of the Lord. I'm not going to get into that in detail. I had another experience of the Lord, and that night, I really felt, once again, the Lord's personal love to me. The Lord's love to me. I was actually watching a performance. There, my friends in that church group were putting on, were putting on a performance to preach the gospel to people. And I was watching that. Actually, I was in the performance. And I wasn't watching from the audience. I was watching from the stage in the back. And as I was watching, it's like whatever their message they were saying, the Lord spoke to my heart. And I felt, come here. I felt that night, I don't know if you've ever felt this, I felt as if Jesus was like this close to me. I just felt like he was so real, and actually he was hold like that to me. Now, Jesus, he is not here physically, but I wonder if you've ever had an experience that you just know the Lord Jesus is with you. It's almost like he's holding you or hugging you. I had an experience like that, my first experience, because I've had many experiences like that. And that night, and this is my point, that night I gave my heart to the Lord for my whole life. My sister preached the gospel to me. I didn't do it because of her. She wasn't there. My mother loved the Lord and prayed for me. She wasn't there. I didn't do it because of her. My father actually did not love the Lord for many, many years and did not agree with my coming to the church meetings. I don't know about all of your families, if some of you are in situations where your mom and dad are not encouraging you. Maybe one is, one isn't. Or some other family members give you a hard time to go to the church meeting. But I had that. But in spite of that, I gave my heart to the Lord. I didn't do it because of anybody or anyone except the Lord. And I wonder if you've ever had an experience like that. Because you need to prepare for his coming. You need to. You need to have an experience yourself, for yourself, where you say, Lord, I love you. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who else is here or who else is not here or who's encouraging me. And even you could say, Lord, even my family doesn't follow you. I still follow you. I wonder if one day you could say that. Now, of course, I want all of your family to follow you, follow the Lord. But would you be able to say, Lord, I just love you. It's not because people are pushing me. It's not because of serving ones in the church. It's not because of anything or anyone. I love you. That's the first thing you need to be ready for the Lord's coming. That's the first thing you need to grow, just to love the Lord. Just to love the Lord. How about before we go on with the rest of the lesson, how about we just take a minute right now and you pray just to the Lord personally in your seat. And maybe and tell the Lord something. Maybe you want to tell him, Lord, I want to love you like that. Maybe you can say, Lord, I love you like that. I love you. I love you the best. You're my best friend. Lord, I give my whole life to you. Anyway, you just pray something. Don't use my words. Use your own words. How about everybody close your eyes, bow your head, and have a little prayer with the Lord for just a minute or two. Just a minute or two. Amen. How about we just say it together? Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Okay, so that's the first point. How do you grow? Just by loving the Lord. How do you prepare for his coming? Loving the Lord. Okay, now the second. So that's the first point. That's the first point. There'll be 4 points, right, from the title. Let's read the title again. Read the title again. Growing. Amen. Okay, number two, walking with God. Walking with God. What does this mean and how do you do that? Walking with God. What this means is not only in the meeting, but when you're at home, when you're at school, when you're on vacation, when you're playing ultimate, soccer, basketball, whatever it is that you play. When you're watching television, when you're reading a book. Can you do that with God? Now, it doesn't mean you're watching TV saying, Oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, all the time. Now, if you like to do that, that's fine. I'm not going to stop you from doing that. That doesn't mean that when you're in class, we shouldn't talk about class because it's summer, right? Yeah, but I'm going to talk about class, though. So you're in class, in the middle of your class, you're saying, Oh, Lord Jesus, praise the Lord, and you're praying a verse. They'll send you to the nurse. Or they'll call your parents. Yeah, something's wrong with Hannah. The point is this, that wherever you go, whatever you do, God is with you. I hope you realize that, and I hope you enjoy that. The Lord is with you. He, and you, I hope you would write that down, He is walking with you. He is walking with you. Wherever you are, He is. Wherever you go, He goes. And everything you do, He sees. So while you're walking with God, be a little careful. Because He sees everything. He's with you all the time. So now what I'm saying is, since He's walking with you, why don't you walk with Him? Now, how really do you walk with Him? It's by point number three. What's point number three? Telling Him all. Telling Him all. Christopher, come here. I'm going to use you as an illustration. You know, Christopher and I, we're family. Did you know that? We're related?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who said yeah? He told you?
No.
His sister told you?
No.
I told you?
No.
How'd you know?
No,
oh, no, I know that. But I mean like family, you know, physically family. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Right, cuz?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're if you want to know, come and talk to us after.
Okay.
Suppose, here's my buddy, he's my friend, and we're walking together, like just here. Or maybe we walk into town, into Rosendale, about 3 miles. Okay, about 3 miles. Or to New Paltz, let's go to New Paltz, 10 miles.
Okay.
Okay, let's go. So we're walking. We're walking. How long would it take to 3 miles?
An hour.
About an hour. Suppose we're walking together and we never say a word to each other. That would be weird. That's exactly what I was going to say. Thank you. That'd be awkward. We're the two of us. The two of us are walking. Maybe I look at him. And we don't say anything to each other. We go past Rosendale, head to New Paltz, 10 miles. Takes a little longer. I look at him. He looks at me. We never say anything to each other. People would think, that's kind of weird. Friends don't do that, do they? What do friends do? Thanks. You did that very well. I may call you up. I may call you up for something else. Walk and talk. And this is my point. All day long of every day, you can talk to the Lord and tell Him things. He likes it. Sometimes on this property, I will walk and say, Lord, thank you for Penuel. Lord, this place is so beautiful. There's nobody there. I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to Him. I'm enjoying the scenery with Him. Sometimes, actually I was in another camp in Australia, and I was there walking. It's really beautiful. And it was like rolling hills, and there was green, and another shade of green, and a third shade of green, and a fourth shade of green. I didn't know that there were so many kinds of green. I said, Lord, wow. You know what I said? Lord, thank you for green. Wow. It's beautiful. You know, you can enjoy Him. You don't have to be, oh, Lord Jesus. You can just be saying, oh, life stinks. How many of you ever felt like, oh, man, life stinks? Or how many of you have ever felt, life is just not fair? Raise your hand. Oh, okay. Do you know? You can tell him that. If I'm with Shepherd and I tell him, you know, I just feel like life stinks. Nothing changes. Nothing happens because he can't help my life to unstink. But if I say, Lord, I just feel like life's not fair these days. Like this and that. And I start telling him in detail. Now you might say, but doesn't he know already? And I would say, of course he knows. But it makes a difference when you tell him. It makes a difference when you tell him. And I would encourage you, even I would challenge you to do that. When you're sad, tell him. When you're happy, don't forget him. Tell him. I want to sing a song with you. Take out your hymn book, please. Take out your hymn book. Open to 788. 788. I don't know if you have ever sung this song. Is that the right way to say it? Sang? Sang? Have you sang this song? Have you sung this song? Sung sounds proper. Okay. Minnie will play through one time, okay? Yeah. Play through one time. The lot that lies before thee. This is a very poetic way of saying, before anything else, before anything happens in your coming busy day, whether sunbeams promise brightness, whether it's going to be a good day or a bad day. That's what it means by dim forebodings. Be thy dawning glad or gloomy, go to Jesus, tell him all. Sometimes you wake up and it's gloomy outside. You feel, ugh. This is saying, tell Jesus, ugh. Jesus, ugh. Jesus, Lord Jesus, I don't want to get out of bed today. It's ugh. But sometimes it's sunny outside. But you know today something's happening. Something not good is happening. A test. Oh, I didn't say it. He started talking about school. But that's what I was going to say. You know something bad is coming today or something you're not looking forward to. This is saying, go to Jesus, tell him all. Then verse 3. Then as hour by hour glides by thee, thou will blessed guidance know, thine own burdens being lightened, thou canst bear another's woe. That means if you tell Jesus everything, he lightens your burden, and you can help others. But then it says, remember, even when you're helping others, tell Jesus. Tell Jesus. This is really important for all the serving saints. And I like the very last line of verse 4, the last two lines. Strength, oh, let's read it together. Strength and calm for every crisis. Come in telling Jesus all. I hope you could learn to practice this, to tell Jesus everything. If you do, you will grow. and the Lord will grow in your heart. The Lord will grow in your heart. Okay, the last point. What's the last point? That's number three. Number four is loving His Word. Loving His Word. The brothers have shared a lot with you already about the Word. I think message three, outline three, was on that matter. Stay there. We have another song coming. Thank you. How many of you here have read the New Testament through one time already? Raise your hand. Up high, let me see. One time through, very good. How many of you have read the New Testament, not the serving saints, but the young people two times through? Anybody? Young people? Okay. How many of you have read through the whole Bible one time? Anybody? There's a few. Okay. Very good. That's good. But the main thing is this that I want to tell you about is I hope, and maybe you would write this down. I hope that the Bible can become your friend. I hope that the Bible can become your friend. Or I hope you can become friends with the Bible. The way to have God as your friend, or I would say, it really helps to have the Bible as your friend. When I was baptized at 12 years old, my sister and her husband gave me the gift of my first Bible. My first new Bible. When I was little, when I was in elementary school, my mother gave me her second Bible, you know, another Bible. So I had a Bible before, but it wasn't new, and it wasn't mine only. It was a used Bible, my first new Bible. I still have that Bible. It's in my study. It's a King James Version. I love that Bible. And I just started, it wasn't really from anybody telling me, but I just started to read. And I don't know how, but I ended up reading Psalms. And I really liked the Psalms. And I'm telling you, through the Psalms, through reading the Psalms, God became my best friend. By reading the Psalms. I grew up, I'm not an only child. I have three brothers and sisters. Actually, two brothers, one sister. But they're all at least 10 years older than I am. Yeah. They're 10, 12, and 14 years older than I am. So by the time I was 12, they were all married and out of the house. So I spent a lot of time by myself. So I wasn't an only child, but I somewhat grew up like an only child. And I'm telling you, I had friends, but the Lord became my best friend through reading the Bible, especially Psalms. And I'm telling you, and I don't know if you've had this experience, I want you to have this experience, that you're just reading something and it's exactly like God's talking to you. Have you experienced that? Like you're reading something in the Psalm and it's like exactly what, like, it exactly matched what you needed to hear, somebody to tell you. I hope you can have that experience. So I'm encouraging you, read the Bible. And maybe think about reading the Psalms. Think about reading the Psalms. You know, the Psalms, the majority of them were written by David. And David had a certain relationship with the Lord when he was young. You know, he was a shepherd, right? He's the one who wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he probably wrote that, I would imagine, one night when he was out with the sheep. He was with sheep, and then he realized, "Lord, you're my shepherd. I'm shepherding and protecting the sheep, but you're my... I need, I'm just as dumb as they are. And I need protection like they do. You know, David talks about and there's one story when he's fighting Goliath. He talks about that he fought off what? A bear and a lion. A bear and a lion. And you know, he was really good with the with the sling. That's how he got Goliath. So he got a bear, a lion, and a giant. That's how he, Of course, the giant was not trying to get the sheep, but the bear and the lion were getting the sheep. And so maybe he realized, Lord, I need your protection from the real lion, which is Satan. The Bible says that Satan's like a lion. Lord, I need you. And so he wrote. And so, and then he also suffered a lot. David suffered a lot. And then in his Psalms, he would say, Lord, protect me. And sometimes he would get mad and say, Lord, avenge me of my enemy. I like that. Of course, the Lord says, don't pray like that. In the New Testament, he says the Lord is the avenger. Don't be like. But my point is, David was real. Whatever he felt, he told the Lord. And those Psalms taught me how to pray. And I hope you can learn to pray like that, real genuine. Okay, we're going to close with this hymn. And then I think you have time for sharing. We go till 9, right? So you have plenty of time for sharing if you'd like. Let's sing the next hymn, 789. 789.